Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 25th of August, recording at 9:50 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, a quick look at the highlights here on what turned out to be a very interesting day. It started like more of the same, with a bit of selling pressure coming in Asia, although not all the markets. Indonesia, very firm among a generally firm ASEAN sector, but there were mostly declines, with Japan getting hit again, down 1.66% because of the strong yen. European stock markets closed weak, but off the lows, and well, it closed with modest gains, I should say, and off the lows. In the Americas, now Wall Street was down most of the day, then had a late recovery and held on to about half of it, closing with modest gains, but it was a big turnaround during the course of the day. The S&P, for instance, closed at 10.55.33. Having encountered support down near the just below the 1040 level, so 15 points lower, and that's the region of the May-June lows. Only the July low was actually lower. Elsewhere, long-dated government bonds, well, prices were firmer, extending the uptrends in Japan, also in Europe. But the U.S. Treasuries turned around, left quite a tail on the chart as they reversed gains. And then we saw gold was very steady again. It's impressive performance gold's been putting in recently, and yesterday's rebound after an early 15-point drop was very, very good. Gold's trading right now at 1240. That fed through to strong gains in silver, platinum, and, well, silver in particular, excuse me, but platinum is also up at 1531, and we had a strong performance from palladium here, up to 496.5. Now, the U.S. dollar is a little bit firmer in here today. Interestingly, the yen also was weaker against pretty well all currencies in here today after additional talk from the various Japanese monetary officials. In industrial commodities, the big action was in the crude oil price. And that dropped down to a low of 70.76. Now, that was also near a raft of earlier lows. And it turned around, almost closed with an upside key day reversal. And it's currently, I mean, remember, that was a low at 70.76. And it's currently trading after hours at 72.92. So good rebound there. Natural gas was weaker, however, and among the soft commodities, I barely saw those, but there's not much change in the grain and bean complex. Industrial metals are a little lower, but off the lows of the day. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, we have quite oversold stock markets in the West, at any rate, and some of the emerging markets again have been weak over the last week or more, and this has created short-term oversold conditions. There are a few holdouts doing exceptionally well, and Indonesia, which has been such a powerhouse all along, typifies the stronger group, again with the ASEAN sector doing well. A number of the South American markets have remained quite firm, although they'd suffered a little contagion selling recently. I mentioned in terms of Wall Street that getting down towards that 1040 level on the S&P, we saw lows there in May and June, with only the July low actually being lower. So this is an area of potential support. What needs to be seen is whether we get enough follow-through here to squeeze the shorts, and I'm quite certain that those short positions have built up once again. And you know how bearish sentiment has been recently. Now, in terms of seasonal factors, this is still a chancy period here for markets. What will be very interesting is to see how investors respond following the, as they return in September. Now, again, historically, stock markets have, historically, for what it's worth, and the September to early October period has at times been a testing one for stock markets. What I'm interested in seeing here, and I think there's a fair chance we will see it, is that markets, to show enough steadiness, come in, check the overall slide sufficiently so that we remain in overall ranging patterns as we get into the fourth quarter. And I think that would be quite positive. And I think we are still on schedule for a decent year-end run. But today's just the first straw in here. But things are looking more interesting, not just in stock markets, but there's little evidence in stock markets, but the way other so-called risk plays have also performed in here today. Now, let's take the long-dated government bond prices. I mentioned those first. These are very overextended. Of course, the flip side of that is that the yields are going to be overextended on the downside. We saw the, excuse me, the U.S. 10-year yield down to about 2.4 earlier in the day, and that's pretty extreme. As I said in my commentary, you know, and I referred to it at 2.5, but, you know, would an investor be better off owning U.S. Treasuries, 10-year treasuries yielding 2.5%, you know, if you just want income, what about a share and a share like AT&T? Not the most glamorous or exciting thing in the world, but you've got a 6.3% yield there, and there's some chances that the yield might actually increase over the next decade. And the share price, I would also think, could easily appreciate over the next decade. Now, to get a comparable yield to that, you'd have to go into junk bonds if you're going to stay in bonds, and those are too often worthy of the name, and they may well, some of those will certainly have been issued by companies that will suffer in the difficult economic conditions that we actually see. But I don't want to overemphasize the difficult economic conditions. There are plenty of people out there doing that and extrapolating trends. You don't buy the economy, you do buy the companies. Obviously, the companies have to operate within the economy, but I like the way they have rebuilt balance sheets, particularly the multinational players, and those are frankly the only ones that really interest me in this economic environment. And so they're running good cash levels, as you've seen from some of the reports that we've been posting recently. And they have got decent earnings. And obviously, the earnings growth rate is going to slow for those companies. But I would be optimistic that many of them, particularly those that are leveraged to the global economy, will continue to show earnings growth, albeit at a slower rate, over the second half of this year and for much of next year. So hardly the end of the world. And as I've said before, this deleveraging trend that we're seeing in terms of consumer debt, This is a big long-term positive. Obviously, it's painful in the short term because we had an economy that was just grossly over-dependent on the consumer sector, over 70% of the economy. So the U.S. really needs to retool and rebuild and encourage the development of more companies that are capable of snaring a chunk of the export market, and there are plenty of them that could do that. And the U.S. also needs to encourage countries with big trade surpluses to move in and invest in the USA, build businesses in the USA. I'm thinking specifically of China, and there's plenty of precedent for that. We saw that with Japan when the trade figures were so out of whack, when you got Toyota and other companies moving into the USA. So this is not an end of the world situation here, but it is certainly a more difficult economic environment in the United States and also in Europe than I have seen at any other time in my life to date. So one doesn't want to be sanguine about it, and I'm not. But I think that I have talked about irrational pessimism in recent weeks. Another Western economy that I have liked and that others are now less bearish of, but Germany. And Germany does have the export industries, and it's got a competitive currency in the euro now. And again, Germany's export companies are leveraged to the global economy for the most part. So there are a lot of interesting situations. And then I haven't even mentioned the Fuller Money themes, which continue to like. So what else? These long-dated government bonds. This is has been one heck of a run that emboldens players, but it's a feeding frenzy. You know, we've seen plenty of other feeding frenzies in the past. You know how they all end. And the star that burns brightest burns out most quickly. And that's certainly true in markets. And I think that people are paying one heck of a premium for their so-called haven in these long-dated government bonds, and I already mentioned I'm not thrilled with the prospect of the junk bonds. What I do like are the high-yielding equities. Okay, let's see. In terms of various commodities, I bought a little crude oil today on its earlier dip. And this just looks so overextended to me. Yes, the the stock pile is gone up in the USA, and consumption has probably dwindled a bit in the USA, but that's fully in the price. And I think we'll see another rally within this broad trading range for crude oil. The gold pattern, again, obviously a number of subscribers were surprised and concerned that I sold my gold shares and that I haven't been trading bullion from the long side. I haven't been trading much in here recently because it has been a choppy environment overall. But as I said in my preview, and as I've said in recent audios, that the gold action is very solid here right now. There's nothing wrong with this action overall. Now, if I had one concern about gold in the short term, it is that if we get a reasonable rally in stock markets from this oversold condition, and if other commodities perform, then we might see gold ease back a bit as it faces more competition from the so-called risk assets. And as some of the bolt hole people who may have purchased gold recently stop buying or sell a little bit, I certainly don't think that's any big worry. And we are now close to moving out of the period of seasonal underperformance overall. So I think this is, again, if you hold the gold shares, as many of you do, and if you hold bullion in an ETF that assures you that they've actually got the bullion, I think that's that in particular, the bullion in particular, is still a great long-term holding. And I would be I would I've said this all along. I don't think there's any reason for people to be worried about this. Certainly not while the price action is healthily to the left of its rising 200-day moving average. I might write a little bit more about gold during the remainder of the week. We'll see what's going on. But gold remains generally steady against all currencies, so it's good action overall, and I want to emphasize that point. Industrial metals look oversold. Industrial commodities generally look oversold. Again, high correlation with stock markets here, and I think that will remain for a while longer. And on that note, all the best to all of you.